Deborah Kemp's ordeal began when she rolled her car up to the self-service pumps. Her six-year-old daughter Ashley was asleep in the back seat when Deb walked around the car to fill it up with gasoline. Suddenly, a strange man climbed into the driver's seat of her vehicle. He was trying to steal her automobile. Well, this 34-year-old mom said later, "I didn't try to be a hero. I was just concerned about my baby. That was part of me in that car." Well, as the man drove off in her car, Debbie grabbed the door with one hand, and with the other hand, she reached through the window and she gripped the steering wheel. Well, the thief drove several blocks, dragging Deb's knees across the rough asphalt. Drawing upon a hidden reservoir of strength, Deborah was able to hang on. And the car was still moving when she managed to pull the thief out of the vehicle. Well, when the man hit the ground, Deborah grabbed the club, the anti-theft device that she kept under the seat of her car. She grabbed the club and she started belting the bad guy. Witnesses say that he was apologizing and begging her to stop as she clubbed him with the club. In the end, little Ashley walked away unharmed. Deborah Kemp tore pants and bloodied her knees, while the thief suffered two broken legs and severe head injuries. Serves him right. One thing is for sure, Deborah Kemp is one mom who will fight for her family. And I believe to have a healthy family in our modern world, parents need to be willing to put up a fight. Christian families today are under attack. All kinds of forces are trying to break up the family. Thieves are everywhere, hoping to steal away your family's togetherness and unity. You've got to take a strong stand. Years ago, there was a Chicago law firm that launched a billboard. It pictured a scantily clad woman on one side and the shirtless torso of a muscular fella on the other side. In between was the message that read, "Life short, get a divorce." Well, the law firm's message was clear. Marriage is more about personal happiness and sexual appetite than it is commitment and dedication and faithfulness. One critic of the billboard wrote, "For those that think this is clever or humorous, how about placing a 5-year-old girl and an 8-year-old boy in the background, clutching daddy as he leaves the house?" The Chicago billboard was a blatant attack on the marriage and family. But it's just one snowflake in an avalanche. The family today is taking fire from all sides. Today, woke politicians and activist judges are trying to redefine the family. Motion pictures and television bombard us with messages that fidelity is old-fashioned and that biblically structured families no longer exist. And if by rare chance they do, they're not worth the effort it takes to keep them together and to make them strong. Social media reinforces anti-family values like distrust and disrespect, sarcasm, ingratitude, rebellion, sexual promiscuity, etc., etc. Hey, don't expect the algorithms used by TikTok and Instagram that target your kids to then turn around and teach them moral values and respect for parents. Modern media is hostile toward families, as is the business world. You'd think that corporations and business enterprises today would encourage family-friendly work environments, but pro-family businesses are also on sharp decline. Several years ago, I read a quote from one of America's 100 most successful executives. It almost made me cry. He stated, "Reaching the level of business success I have requires total commitment. If your family is too demanding, get a new family." That's what I did. For your family's sake, I hope you're not working in a company managed by this man. Hey, families today, both parents and children alike, are in a very real battle. It seems to me the only place in today's society a family can turn for consistent support and encouragement is the church. marriage and family is God's idea. And it's God who supplies the strength and fortitude and wisdom to produce strong families. Families should be done by the book. Read God's word for wisdom. Rely on His Spirit for power. And His healing will rain down on parents and children alike. You know, it's interesting. When God walked this earth in the person of His Son, Jesus was a friend of the family. He often saved marriages and families. In fact, I want us to look at one such example this morning here in Luke chapter 4. Here we find a family that is fighting a fever. But Jesus turns it into a healthy family. This morning's message is entitled, How to Have a Healthy Family. Let's read Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 38. Now he, meaning Jesus, arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Simon being Simon Peter. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. I want you to notice four movements in this story. First, Jesus comes over. He is invited to Simon's house. Second, the family has a problem that they turn over to Jesus. Third, Jesus takes over the situation. He stands over this sick woman. And then fourth, Jesus drives out the fever and he allows this family to start over. Here's our outline. Jesus comes over, a problem gets turned over, Jesus then takes over, and God's healing allows a whole family to start over. If you're a mom nurturing a sick family, Jesus cares about your family, Mom. Jesus wants your family to be a healthy family. Well, first, Jesus comes over to Simon's house. Verse 38 tells us, Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, don't miss this first but vital point. Simon Peter brings Jesus home from church. For the Jews, the synagogue was their place of worship. It was the equivalent of our Christian church. For Simon's family, their first step toward health was to invite Jesus to return with them from the synagogue to their house. And Mom, if you want a healthy family, your first step is to invite Jesus home with you from church. Let me assure you, Jesus loves to get out of the synagogue and head home with people who invite him. While on earth, Jesus spent very little time in a temple or in the synagogue or in any house of worship. The Lord spent most of his time among common folk, interacting with them in the midst of daily life. He especially gravitated toward people's homes. Remember, Jesus attended a party at Matthew's house. He ate at the home of Mary and Martha. He forgave a prostitute who had come to see him at the home of a rabbi. He healed the paralytic in a house. In fact, the crowd had lured the man to Jesus through the roof. And recall Jairus, the Jewish official whose little girl was terminally ill. We're told he begged Jesus to come to his house. Death would soon invade this house. Jesus was his only hope. And so a humble Jairus begged Jesus to come home with him. And then remember what Jesus said after he had visited the home of Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come to this house. Here's some really good news. Our Lord Jesus loves to make house calls. Don't misunderstand. I'm glad that you've made the effort to come to church today. In fact, church attendance has some amazing benefits for families. I'm sure you've probably heard the quote. It's gone around now for several years. It came from a Harvard University study, and it states, one out of every three marriages ends in divorce. But the study also quotes a few statistics you probably haven't heard. Of couples married in a Christian church, the odds of divorce decrease to 1 out of 50. For those who come back to church after the wedding and become regular church attendees, the odds decrease to 1 out of 105. But according to the Harvard study, if you really want to decrease the odds of a divorce, don't just attend church, but pray together as a couple. Read the Bible together on a regular basis with your spouse. Of the couples that not only go to church, but then bring Jesus home from church, only 1 out of 1,105 couples end up in a divorce. You see, the really healthy families don't just go to church, they bring Jesus home from church. But notice what happens when Jesus enters Simon's house. The family turns over a problem to Jesus. Verse 38. Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. See, coming to church helps a family, but just coming to church is not going to ensure a healthy family. At church, Simon's family looked like this pristine, perfect little family, but Jesus discovered a different story when they got home. See, Simon's mother-in-law had contracted an infection and was fighting off a fever. Dr. Luke calls it a high fever. The Greek word high means mega. It was a mega fever. You know, my wife used to be a home health care nurse, and Kathy witnessed situations where the infected patient was so severe that the whole house reeked with a foul odor. And this was the condition that Jesus found when he walked into Simon's house. This mother-in-law's infection had contaminated the entire household. There was no hiding this illness. The moment you walked into the house, you knew that there was this pungent problem in the house. Reminds me of Charlie. Did you hear about Charlie? Well, his neighbor raised prize-winning rabbits. And Charlie was always worried that his dog would jump over the fence and help himself to a snack one day. Well, finally, the day came. Charlie found Rover with a dead rabbit in his mouth. I mean, what would his neighbor do? His dog had eaten a rabbit. Well, Charlie plotted a cover-up. He cleaned up the rabbit. He fluffed up the hare's hair with a blow dryer. And then late that night, he climbed back over the fence and he placed the dead rabbit back in the cage. He hoped his neighbor would assume that the rabbit had died of natural causes. But the next day, Charlie heard a knock on the door. It was his neighbor. Charlie, we got a real problem. Charlie was wondering how in the world the neighbor had found out. Well, the rabbit owner, he continued. He said, yeah. He said, somebody dug up the dead rabbit I buried, cleaned it up, even fluffed its hair with a blow dryer and put it back in its cage. Charlie, we got a real sicko in this neighborhood. And here's the moral of the story. Just because your family cleans up and fluffs up to come to church, it doesn't mean it's a healthy family. Simon's family came to church, but when Jesus came over to their house, he found that there was a problem that needed to be turned over to him. I'm sure we all want to be part of a perfect family. I mean, churches sometimes can even increase the pressure. How will folks treat us if we find out we've got a problem? It's only natural to want people to think that you and your husband are another June and Ward Cleaver, the clean-cut couple who starred in the old black and white series Leave It to Beaver, if you ever saw that. But guess what? You're not a cleaver. And your kid sure ain't a beaver. Instead, you got a fever. I've been waiting all week to do that. If we want our families to be healed, we have to admit that we have a problem. And we need to recruit the Master's help. Notice when Jesus entered Simon's house, no one tried to cover up the problem. In fact, we're told they made request of him concerning her. In other words, everyone immediately, they took the problem to Jesus. Friends, when it comes to God's healing, confession and admission and disclosure is always the first step. How can a doctor treat a wound unless it's exposed to him? We need to invite Jesus over, but then we need to turn over our fevers and infections and problems to the doctor. If a doctor walked into a house and found an outbreak of an infection, if she were a decent doctor, before she did anything else, she would treat that infection. And this is what happens when Jesus enters Simon's house. Jesus is the great physician, and he immediately moves to cure the infection and to drive out this fever. Reminds me of the magician who was asked to name his favorite trick. Oh, he had a bag full of them. He said he really enjoyed sawing young ladies in half. He claimed that he used to practice on his own family. The interviewer asked him, he said, "Wow, you must have had a large family." The magician answered, "You're right. I got 8 half-sisters." You know, sometimes we think we can cure family fevers on our own. Oh, we rely on our own tricks and manipulations and pressure tactics. And for a time, maybe we can cut things up and reduce the fever. Like popping a few Tylenol, we can calm the fever down. We can mask the symptoms. Oh, but more is needed if we want to drive out the infection and bring healing to the body. And likewise with a family fever, a summer vacation or a Christmas celebration or a big event like a wedding or even a memorial can draw a family together for a time, but it takes far more to permanently reunite a family. It takes a work of God to heal a family fever. Notice in verse 39, Luke tells us that Jesus rebuked the fever and it left her. Remember, rebukes were what were used to cast out demons. You rebuked a demon. Evidently, Jesus saw the fever that threatened Simon's house as a direct result of spiritual warfare. The devil was at the root of the infection attacking this family. And this is often the case today. The sickness in so many families is ultimately not due to the media or the school system or the internet app or some inconsiderate boss or a peer group or a television program, etc., etc., etc. Things we want to blame it on. Rather, I believe something far more sinister is going on. John 10, verse 10 begins, Jesus says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." The devil is the thief who's out to steal your family's joy and happiness. He's the person who ultimately wants to kill your family life and destroy the love and unity that exists. And thus you can't cure a sick family by yourself. Only Jesus has the power to overcome the spiritual forces that fight against our families. This is why we need to humble ourselves and turn it all over to Jesus. John 10, verse 10 ends with Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus alone has the power to heal a sick family. Did you hear about the woman who married Mr. Wright? There was only one problem. She didn't realize until after the wedding that his first name was Always. And Always Right is both a masculine and feminine name. In fact, whoever has earned the name Always Right will likely suffer from a fever in their family. For pride is a terrible fever. It's a terrible sickness. It gets in the way. That's why the key to healing is humility. Drop the facade. Stop the cover-up. Take off the mask. Admit your problem. Turn over your problem to Jesus and request His help. And yet there's a third movement in our text. Jesus comes over to the house. They turn their problem over to Him. But unless they're willing to let Jesus take over, he'll be unable to administer the needed healing. See, Jesus dealt with the fever in Simon's house only after he was allowed to take over the situation. Notice the family member that was sick was the mother-in-law. And mothers-in-law are notorious for wanting to take over a family. Now, if you're a mother-in-law, I am sure that you're the exception. Just saying. Probably doesn't apply to you. But deserving or not, mothers-in-law have the reputation of being just a little bit controlling. Quite domineering, in fact. They like to run the show. You know, it's been said, a mother-in-law is a woman who is never outspoken. Based on your experience, you can take the term outspoken as one word or two words. It's my opinion that Simon's mother-in-law ran the show in this household. And that's why I think it's no accident that Luke gives us Jesus' position. So he stood over her. Now granted, I'm just assuming Simon's mother-in-law wore the pants in this house. It could have been Simon. It might have been his wife. But it needed to be Jesus. If you know your Bible, you'll acknowledge that God has established a definite order in the house, in the home. The husband should lead. The wife should support her husband, and the children need to respect their parents' authority. But before any of that becomes a functioning reality, everyone in the family needs to align under Jesus. The whole household needs to let Jesus take over. One little girl, she summed up the balance of power in most families. She and her father were sitting on the couch one day. When she asked, she said, "Daddy, you're the boss of this house, right?" Well, the proud papa replied, "Oh, yes, sweetheart, I'm the boss of this house." But then his daughter burst his bubble. She said, "You're the boss because mommy put you in charge, huh, Daddy?" Hey, let me tell you who needs to be in charge of your family. Not the mother-in-law, not the son-in-law, not the daughter-in-law. The fever in your family won't be cured until you let Jesus take over. Together as a family, we all need to decide to put Jesus in charge. Let him have full authority over our lives and relationships. Once a tired mother told her little boy to fetch the advertisement she had had earlier in the day. She had been browsing a catalog. But the child had picked it up and misplaced it. He couldn't find mom's brochure. Well, the little boy, he shrugged his shoulders. He told his mom he had no idea where he'd put it. She growled, "Now you had it last, you better find it. And if you don't know where it is, then you better ask God to help you." A few minutes later, the mother walked by the little boy's room, overheard him giving God instructions. "God, you go this way, and I'll go that way." And here's our problem. We also like to give God instructions, especially when it comes to family sickness. Hey, I am an expert at what Kathy does wrong. I see it quickly. I spot it. I'm an expert. I am an expert in how my kids and grandkids could be doing better. But oh boy, I have a few blind spots when it comes to my own sorry attitudes. Hey, when I think I'm the boss, when I'm in charge, I tend to speak out. My opinion seems to be all important. But when I acknowledge that Jesus is in control over my family, then it puts me in a position where I need to be spoken to. Jesus will drive the fever from your family and bring healing to the strained relationships once you acknowledge him as head. If you want help with a family dysfunction, don't just turn over your fever to Jesus. Go one step further and turn over your family. Well, finally, when Jesus comes over and you turn over your problems and he takes over control, then healing occurs and your family can start over afresh. Notice, as soon as this mother-in-law is healed, she begins to serve. We read this story as a miracle of healing, but verse 39 records the real miracle. It comes after the healing. Immediately she arose and served them. I heard one man comment, "My mother-in-law was dangerously ill. Now she's dangerously well again." To the contrary, this lady was healed to help. She went from being mega sick to being a mighty servant. Let me suggest, contributing to every fever is an affection called selfishness. Self-absorption, egotism, self-centeredness infects a family and drives up its fever. Rather than putting others first and thinking and acting like a family, individual concerns begin to dominate. And if untreated, it will eventually kill any concern and love that existed among its members. Perhaps you've been to shrinks and counselors and been told your family problems are too complex, too complicated. And maybe they are, but maybe the fix is quite simple. For if everyone stopped acting so stinking selfish in your family and cared more about each other, don't you think your family life would improve? I'll bet it would. It's interesting, our text doesn't tell us the means by which Jesus healed this woman's fever. We consider it a miracle, something that defies human explanation. But in Mark's parallel account, he adds a specific detail. He says, "So Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. When the master touched the woman's hand and lifted her up, immediately the fever left her body." And this is similar how Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. You remember that story. His hand had been paralyzed. It was gnarled up in an arthritic ball. When Jesus commanded him, "Stretch out your hand." Of course, to do so would be impossible. How does anyone stretch out a deformed hand? What Jesus was asking of him was unfeasible. But he did something amazing. He believed. He just believed despite the odds, despite what was impossible in his own mind. He just believed. And in the microsecond it took for the mental message to get from his brain to his hand, a miracle occurred. It was said of the man, he stretched it out and his hand was restored. And here's the life-giving point. When the man chose to act on the words of Jesus, healing took place. And I believe Peter's mother-in-law was healed in much the same way as Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. Fever racked her body. She was unable to rise and serve, even if she had wanted to. But as Jesus reached out to her and lifted her up, her faith rose up. She believed healing could happen. Then it did. Read this story backwards and you realize that Jesus had a reason for this woman's healing. She was sick, but Jesus healed her so she could serve. Hey, when racked with a fever, serving was the last thing that was on her mind. But the moment the mega fever lifted, serving was the first thing she did. And it set a tone for the entire family. Perhaps there's a hidden purpose that God has for your life. A way that He wants you to serve Him. But for years, you've had this fever that's blinded you to the good things that God can do and wants you to do. You see, it's only when we bring Jesus home and reveal our problem and turn our lives over to Him that He causes our fever to break and we start to see what God intended for us all along. When we read this story, we often envision ourselves as Peter, or maybe as Peter's wife, or even as one of the other disciples who's observing all of this. But what if you and I are the mother-in-law? The family member who actually needs to be healed. Here's why Jesus wants to heal you, so you can rise up and serve your family. Imagine the impact of this mother-in-law after her healing. The woman who was sick is now a servant. Do you think her actions made a difference in the lives of the people around her? I'm sure they were in amazement. The sickest among them was now the servant of all. And I've seen this dynamic play out in many a family. Just one person in the fam, just one person, receives the healing touch of Jesus, and it spreads to the whole family. A humbled wife, a willing child, a repentant dad believes God for a miracle, for a real healing. Then it happens. And the recipient starts doing the right thing, even if it's not easy. And it unleashes God's healing throughout the whole family. Think of it. Today, you could be that person who gets the ball rolling in your family. I want to close this morning by reading you an interesting letter. It begins, Larry and Joanne were an ordinary couple. And like ordinary couples, they struggled to make ends meet and do the right things for their children. And they had their squabbles. Much of their conversation concerned what was wrong in their marriage and who was to blame. Until one day, the most extraordinary event took place. Joanne, I've got a magic chest of drawers. Every time I open them, they're full of socks and underwear. I want to thank you for filling them up all these years. Joanne stared at her husband. What do you want? Nothing. I just want you to know I appreciate those magic drawers. This wasn't the first time Larry had done something odd, so Joanne pushed the incident out of her mind until a few days later. Joanne, thanks for recording the right check numbers in the ledger. Joanne, that was a great dinner tonight. Joanne, the house looks so spiffy today. Joanne was growing worried. Where's the sarcasm, the criticism, the biting remarks? Joanne's fears that something peculiar was happening to her husband were confirmed by 16-year-old Shelley, who complained, Dad's gone bonkers, Mom. He just told me I look nice. With all this makeup and sloppy clothes, he still said it. That's not Dad, Mom. What's wrong with him? Whatever was wrong, Larry didn't get over it. Day in and day out, he continued to focus on the positive. Only the weeks that followed, Joanne grew more used to his unusual behavior and occasionally even gave him a grudging thank you. She prided herself in taking it all in stride until one day something so peculiar happened that she became completely discombobulated. I want you to take a break, Larry said. Take your hands off that frying pan and get out of this kitchen. I'm washing the dishes tonight. Long, long pause. Thank you, Larry. Thank you so very much. Joanne's step was now a little lighter. Her self-confidence was higher. And once in a while, she even hummed. She didn't experience blue moods much anymore. That would have been the end of the story, except one day, another extraordinary event took place. This time, it was Joanne who spoke up. Larry, I want to thank you for going to work and providing for us all these years. I don't think I've ever told you how much I appreciate it. Well, the story ends. Larry has never revealed the reason for his dramatic change of behavior, no matter how hard Joanne has pushed him for an answer. And so it will likely remain one of life's mysteries. But it's one I'm thankful to live with. You see, I'm Joanne. Joanne's letter highlights how a family can start over even if just one family member decides to do the right thing. Even if there are no assurances the right thing will be appreciated or reciprocated, still, is God calling you? Is God calling you to be the person who takes that initiative? Well, how do you have a healthy family? You got to make four moves. Jesus wants to come over to your house. You need to invite Jesus over to your house today. Bring him home from church. Turn over your problems to him, even if it takes admitting that you're not perfect. Let him take over not only your problems, but the direction of your family. And then finally, start over by doing what he commands you to do, even when you don't think you can or you're the only one. Trust Jesus to bring healing and then do what he asks you to do. Hey, there is someone here today that would like to ride home with you after church. Guess who it is? His name is Jesus. Take Jesus home with you, and you'll be amazed at the miracles he'll work.